Sometimes people sneak up on you, and suddenly you don't know how you ever lived without them.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that brings you updates on Book Talk's most popular books and tells you whether or not to take the time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I am Caitlin, and we are back with more hockey because that's all y'all can watch on TV lately for some reason. And they're all based off books. So yeah,
the straight version.
Yes, we're here with the straight version. You may have heard our episode on Heated Rivalry. Took the TV audiences by storm. So now you've probably been watching Off Campus if you watched Heated Rivalry. And the first book in the Off Campus series is called The Deal. And it's actually been around for a long time, but it's been very much a resurgence in popularity thanks to the TV show. So today we're talking fake dating hockey players. And I don't know, that's really it. From college and a fake date. It's romance.
It's a deal.
Yeah. The deal. They make a deal. I'm guessing you had no idea from the title, but they make a deal, the deal. And there's fake dating involved. And that's pretty much all you need to know. Because it's a short little book and it's a hockey romance. So
not much to it.
Romances end.
Well, do y'all have reviews?
I have one that I'm going to save it. I have two, but I'm going to save this other one because it's just that spectacular. The first one is 1.5 stars. Yeah, no, this book is still awful. The show fixed most of the things that were wrong with it. And then it says I will be continuing with the series, but only because of the show. I saw a lot of reviews that said the show was better. And here's the one I have for you that is extra special. 4.75 stars. Hockey players, more like cocky players, yummy.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I guess anyway, that's all they're good for.
Yeah.
And that's why all you hoes have them producing more hockey shows.
Yeah.
Hey, if it brings me Heated Rivalry and Off Campus, I'll do it. That's fine by me.
Cocky players.
Okay. I mean, the show did show us cock, so.
Oh.
There's full frontal nudity in the show, yes.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I obviously haven't seen the show yet, but.
Not in the main characters, but extras.
Oh, anyway. I know exactly what scene that must be in.
Someone used this quote in a review and said, "Don't worry, I still read it after reading this sentence." I couldn't read that one though.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I have a 1-star review and I thought it was very funny. It says, "Hannah, I'm broken because I can't have an orgasm with a guy. Me, an asexual. Welp, I guess that makes two of us, huh?"
Yeah,
there's a lot to say on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I also have a 1-star review, just short and sweet. It says, "Garrett Graham, they could never make me like you."
Oh. Well, it doesn't matter because everybody else likes him.
Yep.
Overall, Goodreads rating, 4.2 out of 5 stars. Fable, 4.1 out of 5. Storygraph, 4.03 out of 5. That's a lot of 4-star reviews. I have a feeling. I haven't looked at anyone's, but I just have a feeling how this is going to go. So what are your reviews?
I know everyone's reviews, so I can either go last or I can start.
You should go first.
Okay. I am the highest rating with 3 stars.
Oh, with 3. Okay.
Yeah. So I did not remember what I gave this book because I read it back when I started on Goodreads in like 2023, basically. So I read this over 3 years ago. So I did not remember what I rated it. I knew it was kind of like cotton candy. I actually read the series out of order. So I started the book series that is based on their child's love story. So I read that series first.
And their then child?
Yes. So there's the off-campus series, the off-campus series with all the hockey bros. And then they have children, and it's the Briar U University series. And that is their children's love stories. That's still going on. They just came out with a book with that trilogy, like with that series going on. So I read the child's book first and I really liked it. So I continued on with the parents and I obviously did not like it as much.
There we go. I had no idea this was part of a whole universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Caitlin, do you want to go? Or should I go?
Sure. We may have the same rating. I gave it 2 stars. I know it's supposed to be a silly little romance, but there are some themes in the book I could not get past in how they were talked about. And I know this was written in a different time period. However, I still think it was poorly done. And also, I just find the characters kind of in a way. And there was no burn. It went straight from zero to lust. And I was like, meh. So some of it was funny, but mostly it just annoyed me. So 2 stars.
Well, we are very similar, Caitlin. I gave this book 1 star. I actually think this is the worst book I have ever read. I hate it that much. If I could have given it negative stars on Goodreads, I would have. This book is deeply problematic and actually like genuinely offensive. And the only way I can continue living my life knowing how high of a rating it has is by believing a lot of women rated this book before our conversation around trauma had evolved to the point it is today. Because this book to me is like genuinely disgusting. Like the way female characters are treated, the way the male characters talk about them, think about them, treat them. Like the female main character is a rape survivor. And not only the men in the book, but her as well, sort of all take part in rape culture and belittling other women and slut shaming and body shaming. The men are the worst, but the female main character takes part in it as well. And trying to navigate a story about a woman who is ostensibly supposed to be trying to reclaim her body after rape at the expense of other women is gross. And I hated every second of this.
Yep. Okay. So. I now laugh because we were supposed to record this last week and Casey was like, I haven't finished the book. I said, oh, it's short, so you hate it that much? Yes, I guess she does.
Yep. It was that bad to me. Like, it's actually that deep to me. Like, I cannot view this book in a lighthearted manner. I feel like it's actually like did not just not do the subject justice, but actually like created harm and apologized for behavior that is just straight up unacceptable and creates and feeds into this culture we have that is permissible to rape, that is permissible to assault. And that's like fucking disgusting.
Yeah. I will also say, if you want to make it even better, while I'm only a recent convert to audiobooks, this was the worst audiobook I've ever heard and probably will ever hear.
Wow. That's crazy.
The way that she did Hannah's voice in the book made me want to throw my phone out the car window. Like, it was insufferable.
Wow.
And that's because all y'all out there made me wait too long for the library book. So I listened to it on Audible and I have regrets.
Used an Audible credit for this?
I did. It's terrible.
Devastating.
Anyway, so that made it way worse. Mommy, sometime I'll play you guys some like a clip and you'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, I can't. I had a hard enough time reading this book. I cannot imagine how I would feel about the audiobook.
That definitely did not help my star rating.
Yeah.
So okay, well, how about our non-spoiler discussion questions? Even though, like, it's a romance, you know the ending. Is the plot, or is the book more plot or character driven?
Plot.
Yeah, like plot.
They make a deal, and then they, you know, try to make the terms work.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Have you, or would you read other books by the author? L. Kennedy is a very popular author.
Yes. Like I said, I read the series out of order, and so I started a different sub-sequel series of this series before I even read this series. So yes, I have read other books by L. Kennedy. I'll say it gets better. It gets better because I went from the better ones to this one.
I've never read other L. Kennedy books. I've been enticed occasionally by some of the newer ones sitting on the shelves at Target, but ultimately I'm always going to pick up a fantasy over a romance. So I have not.
Yeah, this was my first and will definitely be my last.
To be fair, I mean, yes, problematic book, but you weren't a fantasy girly, or not more fantasy, romance girly to begin with.
No, I mean, I think normally if I give a romance book 3 stars, it's probably pretty good, because it's just not really my thing. But yeah, this is like the worst of the worst to me.
Yeah. But just for a barometer for our listeners on your tolerance for romance books.
Yeah, it's pretty low. I've had to ban Allie Hazelwood from this podcast because I just can't read another of her books.
To be clear.
And they're a lot better than this one. So
we don't give a crap that she banned Allie Hazelwood.
I banned it for myself.
It's one thing we are ignoring. That woman has us in a chokehold, good or bad. So Casey will get over it. Okay. How long did it take you to read this book and how was the pacing?
I read it in a day 3 years ago. So it was great for me.
Caitlin, do you remember?
I think I listened to it over 2 weeks just in the car, and it wasn't a high priority because I hated the audiobook. Also, pretty sure one day I was eating in my car and my boss walked by and probably heard me listening to it. So that's awkward. Anyway, it's a short book, but it took me a while to get through.
Yeah. I had started it and, didn't really connect with the characters. And so I kept picking it up and just reading a few pages and then putting it back down and not wanting to continue it. And so it took a while and I eventually just binged it mostly in a few hours, because I just needed to finish it for this podcast. And so, but I definitely I would have DNF'd within the first 10 pages if I didn't read it for this.
Fair. And now the big question, the reason we are reading this book at all. There is a TV show about the book. Have you watched it? Will you watch it?
I've watched it. It's really incredible. I think it really, like your review said, Caitlin, I think it really makes it a lot more digestible and kind of goes more nuanced into rape and family abuse and domestic violence. And then less slut shaming for sure. And I think the side characters get a lot more depth to them as well. So I think making the show in the year of our Lord 2026 definitely helped the book.
I didn't watch Heated Rivalry. Probably won't watch this.
Ugh, I can't believe you haven't seen Heated Rivalry.
That's a travesty.
I'm not trying to watch porn.
Okay, you're weird. I'm actually open to seeing the television series, even though I did not really enjoy this book at all. I've heard, Catherine has said, I've heard much better things about the show and, everyone involved is very sexy. So, why not?
Yay, hockey.
Yay, hockey. Yeah.
There's a little more hockey than Heated Rivalry, but not by a lot.
I mean, even in the book, there's like not that much hockey. Like,
no, there's like
they add a more hockey. So because the series is a television series and they're trying to like keep it as like a kind of a Bridgerton style cast of characters where it's like each season is a lead, but there's also the side characters are starting to develop their own plots. There's more hockey in it because they're supposed to be like this inciting incident that leads you into season two that has to do with hockey. So there is more hockey in the TV show than in the book.
Interesting.
Yeah, don't let the cover fool you. This book isn't about hockey.
It's actually more about like tutoring, tutoring for a philosophy class.
And bro culture.
And bro culture.
It's actually more of a fine arts book.
I can't even. Yeah, the main character is a singer. So, you know, there's that.
Okay. I'm afraid to ask, what's your busy girl writing?
I can go first because I don't care how unreasonable it is. I'm giving it a zero. Like, I just think that this book should be illegal.
I already filled it in so on the horrible. Chart for you. I knew what was coming.
Yeah, it's just, that's what it is to me.
I'll just give it a three. It's short and a lot of people love it. I personally don't think it's worth my time. However, it's not like it's a hard read.
Yeah, I feel like I can't accurately give it a busy girl rating because it's been so long since I read it. So I'm just going to stick with the same as my quality rating, which is a three, because I do agree that it's not for everyone, obviously. and I don't remember like the details of the book as much because I just didn't have time to reread it. But I get the gist.
Well, Catherine writes our episode question, so we'll see how this goes since she doesn't remember the details.
And on that, I just figured, I figured Casey will just go off and we probably won't answer a single question.
Yeah. Though I will say I hate this book so much, it almost brings me to silence. Like, I just, it's like there's nothing to say other than like, this is a horrible book.
We'll talk through the plot and stuff.
Guys, there
please
will be
know as you're story. Listening, Casey and I are both pretty disgusted with how it handled the topic of rape and recovery.
Yeah.
Yes.
And domestic violence, quite frankly. So just know that rant underscores all the other things we're saying.
Yeah.
I don't
trigger think warning.
It being written that long ago. What was it, 2019 or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that is an excuse for a lot of it. So
that's the modern era still.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay.
It was spoiler written alert. In 2015. But like, come on. 10 years is not that much of a difference.
No.
That's before me too, though.
Okay, but I don't know.
I'm not giving excuses, just giving context.
I'm just going to say it. Sex for fun doesn't fix the fact that you were raped.
No, not at all.
That's the whole.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Dude, I could go on endless rants about how, like, actually, like, belittling this book was, like, to the experience of being a survivor. Like, and the main character says she's been through all this therapy. It's just. Everything about the way the conversation is framed bothered me because the main character also kind of goes on these rants where she's like, it comes across like she's trying to prove that she's like a good victim or something. She's like, I don't hate men. I'm not resentful. I'm like, I'm healed. I'm like, girl, you were raped. Like, it's okay if you're resentful. It's like, you don't have to prove to me that you like, don't hate men. That's not the most important part of recovery.
There's no band-aid for that kind of thing in this book.
And having sexual partner you like and who makes you feel good does not erase trauma. That's not fixing things.
No.
Quite I'm happy for
the
you.
The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives handles that better than this book.
Like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you found that. I'd be happier for you if he didn't refer to women as females and puck bunnies.
The author has never, to my knowledge, spoken on being a survivor. So I'm not, it's not like discrediting her experience. Like, she's writing something that I feel like she actually doesn't know anything about. Not that I know anything about it, but I've read better understandings of it.
To me, the reason this book reads as if it's not written by a survivor is because the entire plot of the book is actually predicated on the male main character violating the female main character's boundaries repeatedly. He practically forces her to tutor him. He practically forces her to drink alcohol. He practically forces her to go out with him. Like, he kind of, and like, uses all these weird tactics to like get her to kiss him. It's like, he is very like manipulative, and it's framed in the book as if it's all in good fun. And I was like, I don't believe that like a rape survivor feels that chill about being with a guy who's constantly pushing her to do stuff she's not comfortable with.
No, and 5 or 6 years out from a teenage rape experience, I don't think the solution to all your problems is an orgasm. So,
yeah,
that's the only thing she was still working through.
And like, didn't want to drink in public because she was drugged. And so she had like a soft
spot that could have been an interesting part of the story, you know,
mm-hmm.
gaining trust. However, it was too weird. Okay. Right. So that underscores the rest of the discussion. But other than that, what did we think about main character Hannah outside her, whatever she's dealing with here?
I could not stand Hannah. I thought she was super annoying, and she was also a pick me. Like, she constantly degrades other women, talking about how they're dumb, they're skinny, they're like not smart. Like, every woman that Garrett sleeps with before her, she also is like, Tiffany's a Rhodes Scholar, and all these sassy comments about like, just like assuming that the women he's having casual sex with are dumb and she's like better than them. Like, she is a pick me, and she's very proud of not being quote unquote like other girls. Like, it's stupid.
This is, in the beginning, it's given like Troy Gabriella. However, it's actually just Gabriella using Troy to get to the most popular guy in school instead of the second most popular guy in school. I don't know. She's fine. She was nothing special, in my opinion. Fine arts girly. That's cool. Otherwise, yeah, she was kind of pick me. She was just didn't really care about anyone other than her like one friend, and even wasn't a super good friend to her one friend. And yeah, just wanted to get in the football captain's pants.
For no reason.
She was objectifying men throughout the book.
Yeah, for no reason. She's obsessed with this guy. No reason.
Which, like, all right, well, you can say someone's hot, but like, I never understood why she wanted to get with the football player so bad when she was like trying to be, they were trying to portray her as like a random nerdy music kid.
That's so crazy that I don't remember any of this.
Why are we doing this, Catherine?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You made us read this.
I know. Well, because I was like, the TV show's super popular. I want to see like what we think about
actually,
it.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I'm the one who said, I fear we're going to have to do it.
And okay, so it wasn't even me. Great. But in the show, she's obsessed with this other musician.
No, in the book, it's the like football captain.
Okay, that makes zero sense. And I think I did think that.
Now, another like, there's musician, no way that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it feels very like High School Musical, Disney original, because all her friends are like,
Troy and Gabrielle.
Why are you with the jocks? We're the artsy kids. What are you doing hanging out with jocks? It's like,
and she's kind of like, I don't care. I'm going to still hang out with the jocks and not you guys.
And also, in an actual like college environment, no one is like hanging out with jocks or artsy kids. Or like, everyone's just doing stuff. Like, people aren't like sitting themselves into like lunch tables like that.
I will say, like, I didn't like Hannah and Garrett as much as I liked like Dean and Allie. So her best friend, Allie. So I remember kind of just breezing through this book so I could get onto the other books to get context and stuff like that. I did have some kind of negative vibes when it came to Hannah, because I felt that she was, yeah, kind of a pick me. And it felt like she was definitely like putting down the other women and putting down the other like puck bunnies is what they've called right. by the men in the group, which is just kind of crazy. And it's so mm-hmm. weird. I really hope you do watch the TV show, Casey, because it's kind of like a night and day difference. Like it's not even the same show or story at this point. It's just got like touch points and that's about it.
I don't know. Like it is, you're right. It's very focused on like status quo and stereotypes mm-hmm. In a very high school way, but also the book's so dirty, it's not rent for high schoolers. So it's like, what?
Right. It felt like kind of jarring. Like, I don't understand what like universe we're in almost.
Yeah. Okay. Well then let's talk about Garrett Graham. He is a hockey player who's failing a philosophy class and realizes this chick with a nice ass got an A on a test, and he forces her to tutor him and they fall in love. But on the same time, he's the star of this hockey team and his famous dad is a POS who beats women and his son.
Yeah.
I needed us to pick a lane, first of all, in the traumas.
Right.
See, I liked that the two of them were dealing with that. Was I well executed in the book? No, but I like the idea of like the two of them kind of helping each other out.
Okay, sure. However, he was trying to not be like his father, and I think it's interesting that a girl who was victimized by a boy is the one pumping up a man with a temper to say, no, it's okay, you're not like your dad.
Yeah, it was really weird. Also, Garrett was like a disgusting asshole through most of the book who says like gross stuff all the time. Like, I have quotes that I would like to read. All things Garrett either said or thought throughout the book. Here's the first one about Hannah. I've noticed she doesn't wear designer clothing or preppy getups like most of the females at this school. Another one after he's in a relationship with someone. I won't spoil that, even though it's obvious it's with her. I get to have sex whenever I want without working for it.
Written by a woman, guys.
That's crazy.
Written by a woman. These get worse and worse. I'm going in order of how bad they are. You're not the kind of girl who gets naked, he tells Hannah. I'm not a virgin, Garrett, she replies. You're not a puck bunny either, he says back. Okay. So it's too baggy, he says, talking about her shirt. I thought we talked about how you need to show off your stripper tits, he says. Ignore him. He's a chauvinist, Hannah says to her roommate. No, I'm a guy, he corrects, and I want to see some cleavage. This is when they meet out in front of a party. He's talking about his friends right now, by the way. They're only interested in finding a tipsy chick to stick their dicks in, he says. You're disgusting, Hannah replies. Nope. Just honest, he says. Then one of my favorites, especially to say directly to someone who is ostensibly a rape survivor. I live with three hockey players, Wellesley, who, by the way, still aren't home from a night of partying. I'm not saying it'll happen, but there's a chance one of them might stumble into the living room drunk off their ass and grope you. So essentially insinuating that his roommates are going to sexually assault her if she stays and sleeps on the couch. And then when she's in bed with him and drunk, which he got her drunk after he pressured the fuck out of her to drink alcohol. He says, even if I wanted to take advantage of Hannah right now, I'm totally useless. as if he's like pondering assaulting her after she's drunk in his bed, which she only did because he basically made her do it. Mm-hmm. What a great fucking guy.
And that's the end of the episode.
What a wonderful safe space for someone who is rebuilding her sexuality after drama.
Yeah, like the bones of this book are fine. The plot, like bones are fine. I just really could not stand the two main characters and how they interacted. Like somehow all of those comments were supposed to make him a safe place, the first person she could trust and bear her heart to.
Yeah. That's why I'm telling you this book was not written by a survivor, and it's offensive because suggesting that someone with deep trauma from when she was young that has significantly impacted her is seeing this man who like constantly objectifies her, constantly objectifies the women around her, constantly violates her consent, constantly violates her boundaries, and like speaks to her in this sort of like demeaning, objectifying, bro-y way. Like, this is just ridiculous, and I'm very, like, intensely offended by it because it, like, normalizes it. It's, like, normalizes it. This is how good guys behave. This is how good guys who are the main character romance in what is supposed to be a healthy relationship talk to women and treat women and think about women. Like,
yeah. There's a question about his teammates, but honestly, in the book, they're sort of irrelevant.
His teammates are a whole other issue connected to the handling of the assault because his teammates are even worse than him. And they're also portrayed as if they're good guys. Like there's a scene in the novel where Hannah goes over to his, like Garrett's house for the first time. And his roommate answers the door and is like, oh, my birthday's not till next week. Did somebody order me a stripper?
Yeah. Yep. And there's like a weird tension where one of them has a crush on Hannah for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate John Logan.
Everyone's in love with her. What?
They see a girl who they'd never noticed who has a nice ass and suddenly all the hockey players want her. I think it's supposed to be like an endearing little pack of big boys she takes care of, but they're, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not that important in the book, quite frankly.
Well, don't even get me started on the scene when she cooks them all dinner.
Okay. Yep. We're not going to get you started on that. Let's talk about the namesake of the book, their deal, where Garrett somehow realizes Hannah has a crush on the head football guy, captain of the football team, and says, okay, I'll pretend to date you, which will make you desirable if you tutor me in philosophy. AKA teach me how to bullshit an essay.
Yeah.
And that somehow makes them fall in love.
Yeah.
Those late night study sessions.
My petty annoyance with the whole framing of the deal is that it is like another scene where the main character is supposed to be really smart, but like everything is stupid in the book. Like she's smart and is the only person who gets like an A on the philosophy test because she's just able to play devil's advocate and just put herself in the mind of the person she's supposed to be arguing on behalf of. And I was like, yeah, so that's not very challenging. And the fact that no one seems to be able to figure this out in this entire class of college students is...
It's supposed to be like an Ivy League too.
Yeah. And they cannot simply write a high school level philosophy paper from the perspective of a philosopher.
It never feels like a deal. It's kind of Garrett just telling Hannah it's how it's going to be. And it's tempting enough. She takes the bait.
Yeah.
And I just like we never get enough understanding of why Hannah wants to be with Justin so bad.
Yeah.
It's just a crush. Weird. And just she's crush. Like, I'll do this. And then all of a sudden all the men are looking at her because she was seen with Garrett Graham. Like it feels very high school.
Yeah.
It's very high school for sure.
It also like continues to be, sorry to keep harping on this, problematic though, because For some reason, the only thing that matters in this weird High School Musical universe is what man you're dating. Like, yeah. Being with this famous hockey player for some reason is like the end all be all of like how people treat you. She goes out with him one time or a scene with him one time, and all of a sudden everyone on campus is like waving at her and treating her nicely. And then when they like quote unquote, like break up, then everyone starts ignoring her again. So like literally no one cares about anything except for like saying hi to her because of Garrett.
And it's like, okay, I couldn't have tell you who Drew Locke dated in college. No idea.
That's so true though.
I couldn't have told you who most of the athletes at Mizzou were. Like, and we had big like school sports even, and I still didn't know them.
Yeah.
No one's keeping that close of tabs on the student athletes.
And I get it. It's supposed to be like a small campus, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think the fine arts kids care that much about the athletes and vice versa.
I'm curious how old Elle Kennedy was when she wrote this. Like, was she in high school when she wrote this?
Well, it came out in 2015. How old is she now?
Well, I don't know.
She is 44.
So no, she was not in high school. I was really trying to help her there, throw her a bone.
That was somehow way more upsetting than I expected.
Yeah, that makes me even more
upset. I thought it was going to say 30. Really? Actually, you made it worse, Catherine. You actually just made
it worse. I know. I was like, if she was in high school when she wrote this, because yes, it reads very high school. It reads as if they were in a high school college in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, that made it so much worse. Okay,
I'm sorry.
This is a it was a grown woman who wrote this story.
Oh God.
Okay, well, this next question is specifically for Casey. Then, what did you think of Garrett helping Hannah overcome her intimacy issues?
So,
actually, I take this back. Catherine's going to answer first.
Yeah, Catherine, what did you think?
I didn't love them as a couple. I also don't think that you can just orgasm to fix your problems.
What?
Shocker.
No, she orgasms all the time, just like not with a man.
Yes.
Which also, what?
Correct. I mean, I think it wasn't really delicately done. I think the premise could be good in a romance book if you actually like made it a safe space and really made it like a trusting and safe partnership. I did not feel that when I read the book.
Okay, so, unleash, Casey, go ahead.
This is the one part of the book I don't have as much to say about, because I actually thought their sexual relationship was very consent based. They both had a good time. They took it slow.
Like I don't think he raped her. No.
No.
The sweetest part of the book, the only sweet part probably, was how he handled her, minus that one quote you read.
Yes, it was the only redeeming part of the book, actually, was their sexual relationship.
Yeah.
With the exception of one scene, which is probably the only scene I've ever read worse than Allie Hazelwood's like knee-high sock scene. And it was where she refers to his like man monster and he refers to her lady canal, and they have a whole conversation about that.
Yes.
Cringe. There's a lot of juvenile things. I cringed in disgust from my toes to my ears. Like, I
imagine listening to it. Imagine listening to it.
God, please tell me you weren't at work.
And Hannah is read in like a valley girl accent. It's horrid.
Oh my God. I could not have survived it.
No,
like, this is one of those points where I'm like, good bones for a book.
Yeah.
Is they develop a friendship from fake dating, and then he helps her overcome intimacy issues. However, the like band-aid orgasm is not a good plot point.
Yeah.
And there's too many other things happening to make it actually that sweet.
Because I actually think while, yes, their book has problems, the reason why I gave it three stars, I did not give it five stars. What am I saying? Words are hard for me today, guys. The reason why I gave it three stars is because even though like they aren't my favorite couple, aren't my favorite characters, I felt like the story arc of kind of them helping each other cope from trauma. And like they obviously loved each other. And also I liked the friendship aspect where they were comfortable enough to tell each other and give each other shit and to be really upfront from the beginning about what they've experienced and who they are. So it allowed for like this opening up and vulnerability between the two of them. And that's what I liked in the bare bones from what I can remember. Obviously, I didn't think it was a good enough book to give five stars, and I'm glad I didn't.
Casey may have unfriended you.
Yes, yeah, she definitely would have
been having a serious conversation about.
Yes, like they're in the same city now. She might have driven across town and slapped you in the face.
She would have. I know. I like romance books. They're very easy for me to digest, consume, and kind of forget. Essentially, that is what I do for my life.
Yeah, that's what romance should be.
Yes.
A silly little romance.
Yes. But I do think romance has to grapple with some harder concepts in order for it to be like an interesting romance. Abby
Jimenez, not this.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I don't like romance books that are cookie cutter, copy and paste the same thing. I like to have a little depth in them like this. Yes. And I think it can be done well. And obviously the TV show has scratched that itch for me. Because I think the bare bones was there and that's what they took and moved on.
The story had potential. However, the dialogue in the book took it all away.
The dialogue did not reach its potential. So bad.
See, I couldn't remember any of that. So I've really blocked it from my mind.
It feels like every time the book was like on the brink of something really sweet, it would ruin it somehow. Like the sexual relationship was very slow and gentle and that was really nice. And then they have this weird man monster lady canal conversation and it's like, what is happening? They have this friendship and they really connect with each other and it's sweet, right? There's like genuine intimacy there. But then Garrett is like genuinely shocked that he can have a conversation with a woman. Like he's never spoken to one before. There's another quote where he's like, yes, Hannah and I are friends. In fact, she's the only female friend I've ever had. And yes, I want to keep being Hannah's friend, but I also want to sleep with her. And it's just like, the emotional development.
That was supposed to be sweet in the book.
Right. It just kind of undercuts what the book is trying to do with the better elements of it. And it's just like, what? Like, it's very frustrating.
Yeah. I don't know. Good potential, poor execution. Props to the TV show if it fixes all of it.
Right. I think also just for like on Garrett's part, because like I agree with Catherine that I think bonding over trauma like can be good. It can be good if you both kind of understand part of like your problems and like your difficult relationship with your family and like blah blah blah. Like that can, I think, be a connection point. I don't like it though when, especially, I think this happens to male characters a lot, where authors use trauma to turn their male characters into heroes. Like Garrett's trauma basically served no purpose in the story other than to make him some like champion of women, which again made no sense because he treated women terribly. But then he's like this like kind of knight in shining armor who like tries to defend his father's girlfriend. And I was just like, this just feels like a very surface level.
That's why, like, I needed only one of them to have the trauma. Because like,
yeah,
two interesting, potentially recovery stories, not at the same time in this book.
And also just Garrett's even like willingness to see his father. Like, I don't know, every part of it I just felt was not approached the way it should have been.
Yeah. Also, so we've got like a fake dating friends to lovers trope, but then it throws in the miscommunication thing, which you kept thinking, okay, when's it coming? How'd you feel about that ending, that miscommunication into the happy ending?
I want to say also the scene where she just, for some reason, walks straight into the men's locker room. What the fuck?
That's the scene.
Could have That's done without corny. That.
Yes.
Yeah. Corny made zero sense.
Horny.
Oh, horny and corny and made zero sense.
That's the quote I couldn't read on here.
Yeah. She's just walks.
They're everywhere. It's like a parade.
Penis,
they're
penis,
everywhere.
Penis. Yeah. Can't stop seeing them. And the fact that Garrett told people that they couldn't date Hannah. I was
and then she stopped caring about the only thing she cared about in the whole book, her scholarship.
Yeah. Yeah. Over him. Yeah. So he violated her autonomy once again.
Yeah, I was fucking pissed about the hands-off law. I'll say that right now. I think that's incredibly sexist. And you broke up. She's allowed to date other people. She's allowed to talk to other men. And so that was really it was supposed to be, I think, kind of this domineering.
It was supposed to be cute that he was like, I know she's lying, so I'm not letting her mess around. But it wasn't. Yeah. It was
no,
icky.
It's not cute to take away her autonomy and take away her freedom to date other people. That's fucked up.
So that she comes back to you and is like, you're right. I only did it because your dad told me to.
Right. Yeah. And now it's going to make out while you're naked in the shower around all your teammates.
Now, I didn't hate the plot point of his dad being manipulative like that. That was interesting. She cared about him enough to back off because she thought he needed the financial support to get through college.
Mm-hmm.
However, just on top of everything else, it made me roll my eyes.
Yes. I do think it also disappointed me because we go most of the book with no miscommunication trope. And so I'm great. I mean, honestly, reading a romance with no miscommunication trope is rarely happens. I mean, it's amazing if you have that. And then it just comes out of nowhere right at the end. And I was like, oh, here we go. I mean, the way
also, Hannah she was like a spitfire who didn't care about what his dad thought. Why wouldn't she just tell him?
I know.
Well, it didn't fit her character not to tell him.
I wish romances would take the harder path, which to me is just having the characters actually deal with the problem. Let's say she tells him and then they have to pretend they're not together. His dad keeps dropping in, they have to hide their relationship. Deal with the problem. That's way more interesting than just miscommunication.
Yeah. I don't know. Just if the character is being painted as mature, have them do the mature thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of examples of that not happening.
Show me, don't tell me.
That's not what romance does.
Oh, there are plenty of romances that do that. Even with miscommunication tropes.
Yeah. I mean, I think Hated Rivalry is a great example of
Hated Rivalries, yes.
Yeah, two characters who really struggle to say how they feel and but it's told very well. Everything is shown to you and not told to you, and they have a lot of sex and then they fall in
love. Everything is shown to you.
Caitlin's over our bullshit.
I've got better things to do with my time than read these hockey books, guys.
I can make no promise, but for the very foreseeable future, no more hockey books.
Well, at this point, I kind of want to make Casey read Icebreaker now.
That would be hilarious. No. Casey would hate that book.
I would hate Icebreaker. I have heard I would not like that. I'm not going to do it.
I enjoyed it more than any of these.
Well, fair enough.
I gave it 3 stars.
Anyway, I'm just gonna wrap this up because we've been talking about the ending. Will you continue the series?
Yeah, no, I don't think I even need to say that. Of course not.
Sorry, Catherine, I'm done here.
No, you're good. I never expect y'all to continue with this series. This is not my ride or die.
I don't mind a romance, but I'm always gonna pick other things over it.
That's so fair. Yeah. I'm a romance girly at heart. We're all different.
And Casey just doesn't even like them, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Hate them. Can't stand them. Well, I'm going to get really fast in the book recommendations because I'm obviously going to recommend Hated Rivalry, and I want to say it before anyone else.
How did I know you say that? Oh my
God. Did you already write it down in the spreadsheet before she said it?
No, I actually just opened it, but I'm going to recommend Icebreaker.
Oh my God.
Okay, I didn't, you know, that one let me turn off my brain. It didn't upset me until the epilogue. It was a silly little romance. It was pretty steamy. Wasn't mature, not necessarily, but at least it wasn't problematic.
Right. Actually, you know what? Okay, same ice snow theme, but silly, like silly.
Ice Planet Barbarians.
And also gently problematic, Ice Planet Barbarians.
That was a great, great book.
Yeah.
Don't let them fool you.
It's a great book. No,
I rated that one lower than this one.
To me, that series gives the kind of like silly, insane logic, but just like a better package, a better story.
Yeah.
Like less gross.
And less deeply problematic.
Yes.
I have
still a little problematic.
Yes.
There are problems. There are many problems. Many, many problems.
Not many. A few.
Yeah.
And they're all blue.
That's not one of the problems. Anyway, before we break Caitlin's brain further, I'm going to recommend a fake dating book that is also being adapted into a movie, The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood.
There we go.
And that movie's coming out on Amazon Prime next month.
I'm going to have a watch party. That's how excited I am, Casey.
Casey, I was going to invite you to go to a screening with Allie Hazelwood a day before it's supposed to come out.
You can't do that, Casey. You will assault her.
You can't do that. You know
I will assault her. Do you want to bail her out?
That's why I wanted to invite her. I wanted to see what would happen. And
let's talk about other problematic things. Casey's commentary on Allie Hazelwood.
Yeah, yep. I can't. I literally cannot.
We don't talk about other women that way, Casey.
Well, I talk about Allie Hazelwood that way. I don't believe in using the word puck bunny, but you better believe that I will point out an individual.
And I quote, if I see you girl on the streets, it's on sight.
Can't stand her. Can't stand her books.
Yeah. So well, that's why she should come to the premiere.
The preview looks real good.
Yes. I cannot go. I will not be able to stop myself from like shooting like the nastiest looks at her when she's literally just trying to like have
at
a nice
least
time.
You said shooting nasty looks in clear.
Yeah, I was like...
Guys, I'm not
that
crazy.
Almost got real bad.
I'm not actually going to go for a romance writer, even though she's lucky I'm not.
This whole episode is really dark. I don't know what to do.
this romance episode's got really dark.
We are all a little off the rails, though. Okay. Anyway, these are just our opinions.
Yeah, they are. Come back next week where she's probably gonna destroy another one.
Yeah. Oh god, I know.
Oh shit, yeah.
But we love it when you guys disagree with us. Slide into our DMs. We love chit chatting. We love hearing from y'all. We love reading books you recommend. If there's a book that you want us to read, let us know. You can find us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere, and please rate and review our podcast. Okay, I think that's it. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening, and when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.